All right, we got that going. Now, you may have heard this, but if not, we'll give you the information. Because of the severe storm, the hurricane that, you know, came up the coast, and the severe rain that was gotten in South Carolina, the South Carolina prison system closed down all visitation at their facilities. And Pastor drove the 2 hours from where Mike lives in North Carolina, drove the 2 hours to the mental health facility part of the prison system, knocked on the door, explained, you know, his situation, and we were praying, obviously, and hoping that they would allow him in. But nobody is allowed to use any common sense anymore. A rule is made, and that's it. And therefore, he did not get to see Carl. As he said in the text, he knows that I was at the gate, so he knows that I was there and tried. Of course, the Lord knew that, and I don't believe he brought the storm for that purpose, but he knew the pastor was going and certainly could have put on his mind whatever kind of, you know, last-minute change would have been warranted. I personally never would have thought about the possibility of them being closed because of the storm. I thought maybe they just wanted to keep local people from driving, you know, and keep them off the roads, and therefore they'd let somebody that came the distance he did, but that didn't happen, okay? And so the Lord knows, but you be in prayer. Today they're going to be going to church at the Vernon's, and I don't know if they'll be staying there yet today and traveling home tomorrow, or if they'll, you know, leave tonight or this afternoon to travel home. I don't know that plan, but be in prayer because they will be traveling sometime soon. All right, now if you'll turn to the book of Philemon, just before Hebrews and after Timothy and Titus, if you will turn there, we will get into the Sunday school lesson. Let me read the beginning verses. Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer. Philemon is the master of the house. He is the owner of the slave that we'll read about. To our beloved Apphia and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house. So Philemon was a key Christian person. He was not only a person of stature in his town. Apphia and Archippus are considered to be his wife and son. No definiteness about that. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers. Now, when he says there, I thank my God, making mention of thee, I'd have to check out that word mention to see just what all it means. But there's times when we're praying and we may not, in an extended or an intensive manner, speak somebody's name and pray for them and whatever's going on in their life and for them. But as we're praying, we may mention somebody in prayer. Okay, and I mean more than just God bless. Now, it's not wrong to say God bless Neil, God bless Pam, God bless John. You know, it's not wrong to say that. But you know, when you hear children pray, they can pray for a long time, God blessing everything. And so when I read here that he makes mention, I'm thinking that he may be mentioning something specific. Thank you for Philemon's generosity. Thank you that Philemon got saved. Thank you that Philemon has sent whatever, you see. When I think of mentioning somebody in prayer, I may not be intently praying for them. I'm just mentioning them, but it's not merely God bless them. It's something particular. I'm glad to have heard Jim and Bonnie say that they are in their house now. And so when you pray for them, that's a big adjustment going from one place to another. I overheard her saying about downsizing. And Pat and I know that from experience, so we know what they're going through. Jim's going to look for things. In the other place, he knew just where things were. And now he's going to have to look around for them. And same way with Bonnie, okay? Pat has rearranged her cupboards as late as a month or so ago. I opened a door and some dishes were rearranged. You know, getting them to where they belong now. And so when I was praying for Jim and Bonnie and they were working on their house, I would mention them. Sometimes I prayed intently, extendedly. Other times I would mention them, Lord, give them extra physical strength today. Okay, just mentioning them. I'm not sure how this word mention is named here, but Paul says that. In verse 5, hearing of thy love and faith. Well, now let me stop. Verse 4, I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers. Notice there's a comma there. So that means he's continuing his thought. He's mentioning him in his prayers, hearing of thy love and faith. So whatever he mentioned would have been connected to what Paul heard about Philemon's love and faith, which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints, the tender affections, the that which we would typically relate to our heart by way of emotions and affections, are refreshed by thee, brother. Now we're going to pick up today at verse 8. Wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin thee that which is convenient, yet for love's sake I rather beseech thee, being such an one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Paul approaches the delicate matter regarding this runaway slave, and he pleads for the kind of reception for the runaway slave by his earthly master. He says, he eventually is going to say, receive him and treat him like you would me. Paul begins by inferring that he had a right to ask for Onesimus' safe return by his apostolic authority, by the relationship that he had to Philemon, but as we'll see, he does not approach this in a secular manner. In a secular manner, outside of being brothers in Christ, he had no basis to ask anything. The slave owner had the absolute authority and right to treat that runaway slave in any manner he wanted to. And Paul knew that. So he approaches him as verse 8, wherefore. Whenever you see the word wherefore, you've heard this before. Whenever you see the word wherefore or therefore, you ask, where, why is it there? And he just, in verse 1 through 7, described Philemon and Paul and his relationship to him. And based on that, wherefore, though I might be much bold means that he would have had ample ground with his authority as an apostle, but he comes to him in Christ. Wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin thee or to ask of thee, and enjoin means to command. When I think of the word enjoin, I do not think of the word command because of how we generally use it. It's a lighter word to me than the word command. I mean, command is absolute. Well, enjoin, you know, that's a little more pleasant. That's a little easier. I enjoin thee to count the money after church. That's different than saying, I command you to count that money. You see? And yet, what I'm getting at is the way enjoin is used here is as a commander in order. And he goes on and he says even more, to enjoin thee that which is convenient. Now, convenient. If it's convenient, we do it. If it's not convenient, we don't do it. Again, a lighter word in our everyday use of it. But in Paul's day, as he's writing, what he's saying is it's fitting. He says, I enjoin you, I order you, because it's fitting that you do what I'm about to ask. It's in order, you'll say. It'd be out of order for you to not do what I'm asking as a Christian. Now remember, he's coming to him in Christ, because he cannot come to him by normal secular standards of that day, because the runaway slave committed a grave crime, an offense against his master. He goes on then in verse 9 and he says, yet for love's sake, I rather beseech thee. He says, I might be much bold and command you that which is fitting. Verse 9, yet. If I was writing, I may put the word but there. But for love's sake, I rather beseech thee. Out of a loving consideration for his friend, he chooses rather to beseech, or that is to beg. When we read the word beseech, it carries with it the idea of begging for something. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Paul wrote to the Romans. He begged them to do this. And now here again, he is saying to Philemon, he said, I beg you to consider what I'm about to ask. Yet for love's sake, I rather beseech thee, being such an one as Paul the aged. Paul reminds who is asking. This is not just some fly-by-night person that Philemon met. This is not a self-serving person like the Judaizers were. Paul constantly dealt with the Judaizers, those who wanted to mix the Jewish way and the new way of Christ and the Christians. And they were constantly being a problem to Paul and to the churches, because what they were saying sounded so in place, because these were people, as Jews, who had heard the law so long. And therefore, these Judaizers, when they would come in and explain why it was important that we not put them aside and that we are now under grace, they would give him constant trouble. Now, we know that Christ fulfilled the law. We know that we live in grace. But their manner of dealing with it caused just confusion. And that is a problem that has continued a long time. There are so many people that want to constantly mix the old way and the new way, not just of the Jewish law, which we're not familiar with, but just of the way, old way of living. We want to mix it with the new way of living. But Paul says, for love's sake, and he is asking Philemon, he is about to ask Philemon regarding the runaway slave Onesimus, and now he says, I'm approaching you based on love's sake. I'm begging you to consider such an one as Paul the agent. He's saying to Philemon, consider what I'm asking you. I, Paul the agent. Well, one Bible teacher says regarding this that Paul was probably not over 60 years of age. Now, that may have been old for that day, or more so what this particular writer said, because of Paul's unending labor and service for Christ, it made him old before his time. Now, we've seen people like that. Because of the hard work they've had to do, because of the circumstances they've had to live with, they've looked old before their time. Their body was worn because of the rigors of their life. And this particular Bible teacher, that's what he feels was the situation when Paul says, Paul the aged. And of course, if we read the book of Acts and the experiences that Paul had being let down a city wall in a basket to escape being stoned, okay? The other time when he was in shipwreck, and numerous things that have happened, as I said, we'd have to read through Acts and make a list of them to know all of them. But the idea is that Paul was able to accurately call himself Paul the aged. And so we know it would be accurate because what's written was written by the prompting of the Holy Spirit, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And therefore we know that this is accurate. In other words, this is not just Paul with his own idea that he's really feeling down today while he's writing to Philemon, so he calls himself the agent. That may have been the case. Maybe he felt that way. But we know it's accurate because of the Holy Spirit's prompting in his thoughts and in his writing. Now, could Philemon refuse the request of one who has experienced so much for the sake of their common master? Who was their common master? It was Jesus Christ. Paul is writing to Philemon as the master of runaway Onesimus. And he's showing to Philemon that he and Philemon have a common master, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so in verse 10, Paul, after a long and affectionate introduction, and we go back to the beginning of this letter to have that whole introduction, he now gets to the point of the letter. And that is the name Onesimus. It will finally be written. I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds. For my son. So now he puts an important thing about Onesimus, whose name means profitable. He was very unprofitable to Philemon. In that he ran away, I am going to assume, and it's only my assumption, that Onesimus maybe just didn't, you know, wasn't the best worker or something, because he finds a chance to run and he runs. He was unprofitable to Philemon, but now he is profitable. And Paul states that. Why? Because he is now Paul's son. Son in the faith. And now, I wondered this. Did Onesimus not know this, or did Philemon not know this until he got the letter and he's reading along and he's encouraged by the things Paul says of him, by the things that he recognizes in Philemon's faith and living, and then he comes to the what we call 10th verse. Wouldn't have been a verse then, it would have just been part of the letter, and he says, I beseech thee for my son Onesimus. Is this the first time he's hearing about Onesimus? What are the feelings, what are the reactions that go through the mind of Philemon? What emotions happen to him? And I ask those questions if this is the first time he heard it. Could there have been somebody, some businessman, some person for whatever reason that was in Rome? And you know when you go to a different place and you know there's people somewhere in that city from your area, from your region, what have you, it's not uncommon that you try to find them. And so could word have filtered back somehow that runaway Onesimus is in Rome and has been in touch with Paul? That's possible. But if it didn't happen, then this is the first time Philemon's finding it. Now he reads along and he reads the name Onesimus. What happens? What goes on in his mind and heart? If he has become, as a Christian, the loving person that he's spoken of in verse 5, thy love and faith which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints, if he has become that kind of loving person, now he still, like you and I, has that old nature. So he hears of Onesimus. Does that old nature rile up in him? And now some of those old nature feelings, oh, he knows where Onesimus is. If I get my hands on Onesimus, the most I can say is it's possible that that kind of reaction he would have had. Because just like people today, you and I, when we get saved, we want all things different. The Bible says all things become new. But you know the same as I do, that doesn't mean you trust Christ as Savior and bingo, now everything you used to be is totally gone. No, it doesn't work. It doesn't happen that way. Why? Because now we got a new nature in Christ, and all things are new with that new nature. But that old nature's still there. And remember, Paul told us we are to subdue it. We are to put it under. My words, we're to control it. But we don't always do that. And that's why 1 John 1:9 was given. If we confess our sins, when we fail to do that, we can't just live with it, but we must deal with it. And the way we deal with it is to confess it, to turn from it, to repent. And I'll tell you, depending on what your Achilles heel is, what your weakness is, you know, you're going over and over and over again. And you'll begin to think, man, I can't ever get on top of this thing. But the Lord's going to forgive. How often? 70 times 7? No, endlessly. And that's why we keep coming and we keep giving it to Him. And there is the hope that we will eventually overcome that thing. But I guarantee you this, you'll never overcome your weakness if you don't keep trying. But you'll reach a point where you're like, oh, I've tried and tried and tried, and I just can't do it. Yeah, and you'll continue to do it. But if you keep trying, you have the hope that you can overcome it. And so this is, Paul is dealing now with Philemon in verse 10. He says, I beseech thee, I beg you for my son Onesimus. spiritual son. Verse 10, I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds. In my bonds. Verse 11, and again, you notice the end of verse 10 is not a period. So the thought that he began in verse 10 continues into 11. He says, I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds, which in time past was to thee unprofitable. So if Philemon, reading this, hears for the first time about Onesimus, if he has an old nature reaction, Paul confronts that head on in verse 11. When he says, Onesimus, which in time past was to thee unprofitable. He says, now, Philemon, I know this fellow was a problem. He was not profitable to you. See, all that talk about unprofitable and profitable is very meaningful because that's the meaning of Onesimus' name. Okay? Now, we didn't live in that culture. We didn't live with that understanding of the name. And even to the point we have names today, I looked it up one time, what my name means, and I just remembered now what it means. I had an uncle who was in the Air Force, and my mother was going to have a girl. I was not going to be, I was a girl. And finally, her mother said to her, well, what are you going to name if the baby is a boy? It's not going to be a boy. It's going to be a girl. And she finally said to her, Mildred, she said, if it is a boy, name it Roger, because her son was in the Air Force, and he would write home how they used the word okay, Roger and out. Okay and out. So that's why I have a name. Other than that, I'd have been, who knows what I'd have been. Mary Jo or something, I have no idea. the Johnny Cash song. Boy named Sue. let's go back to verse 11. He says that Onesimus was unprofitable, but now, and frequently when we read the Bible, we read that sort of thing. A description is made of the usual way, the normal way, the natural way things are. And then there's the but now. And then and the contrast is given to how it can be now. And that's what Paul is reminding Philemon of. Now, he's having to do this through a letter. I can only imagine, I mean, I'm not even wild about talking important things over the telephone. I'd rather speak face to face because how I say something, what I say next may need to be determined by the understanding or the reaction that the person I'm talking to is having, especially if it's a problematic kind of thing, such as this was. Paul had to just put it in a letter. And so he says, now he's profitable to thee and to me. And he says he was in time past. So there's two words of time. Time past and was now. Okay? So time past, he was this. But now, he is this. And he's profitable in a twofold way. He's profitable to you. I'm sending him. Paul sent him back. I cannot imagine that Paul would have sent him back if in Paul's interaction with Philemon or with Onesimus, Onesimus was saying all kinds of complaining, grumbling, griping about Philemon. I am thinking that Paul observed in Onesimus a good spirit, a right spirit, that if he were to send him back, he would now work as he ought to work. Remember, this is the Paul who, in writing to the Corinthians, says if a person gets saved and they were a servant, they're to remain a servant. That getting saved doesn't automatically free them from that. And he says if somebody was saved as a free person, okay, like it would be Philemon, well then now they should become a servant to Jesus Christ. And so he was sending Onesimus back to Philemon. I believe Paul knew that Onesimus would be profitable. I don't think he just sent him back hoping that it work out that way. I think he'd have kept him with him longer and worked on the character and nature of Onesimus. And so, now, I'm making some assumptions there, but I think they're reasonable in light of what Paul does say, whom I have sent again, thou therefore, verse 12, whom I have sent again, thou therefore receive him that is mine own bow. In other words, receive him as you would receive me in heart. And so this letter carries a definite sense of affection for Onesimus by the Apostle Paul. Philemon would read that, and he could understand that. And it would be hard for Philemon to refuse doing the right thing, especially the way Paul laid it out, that Philemon, you're living for the Lord, you're living the way you ought to, you're treating other people the way you ought to be treating them, and by the way, I have something to ask you. And so, he sent him because I believe he knew that Philemon would receive him. Now, was there a possibility that Philemon would take him back and use his legal rights to treat him in a manner that he could have? Of course there was that possibility. If Philemon had fallen prey to the old nature. And, you know, even the words, whom I have sent again, that doesn't only include sending back, but it's referring to a case. Just like a lawyer may refer a case to another lawyer, or before a judge refer to a case. Paul is referring a case, as it were, to Philemon, and he is looking for a verdict. I'm going to close with this. It's a quote I read somewhere, and I did not record where I found this, and that's perhaps because there was nothing to record. It was just a statement that was made. A faith not tested is a faith that cannot be trusted. Let me repeat that. A faith not tested is a faith that cannot be trusted. James refers to it as faith without works is dead. Okay? And the works, the way one lives, is the evidence that the faith is real. And so now Philemon's faith is going to be tested. And Paul is going to observe the way in which Philemon handles it. And Onesimus's faith was about to be trusted. He had to have faith in God to take care of him when he went back to his master. And so you see, faith is being trusted. Paul's faith is being tested. His faith in Onesimus, whom he is considering he can send back, his faith in Philemon. So all of these characters, their faith is being tested. And all of us, our faith too is tested. In big ways like this, yes. But more frequently, in little things that happen throughout the day, Are we going to live representing the Lord Jesus Christ? Father in heaven, thank you for this day. Thank you for these individuals, Paul, Philemon, Onesimus, even the unknown in relationship, Apphia and Archippus. Lord, to us they are just names, but to you they are people that were redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We know from the truth of the scriptures that they are fellow believers with us, we with them. And I pray that you would help us to learn from them. Surely that is the purpose for which you have put this letter in the scriptures, that we might learn. So to this end, we pray in Jesus' name, amen.